already married in love, yeah. There are certain things that need to be taught to those who are going for Hollywood. In the light of Quran and Hadith, Mawlana Mufti Mahmud Sawrah Matullah Gangohi, Fakhir Ulumah has written a whole book on that. Adab e Mu'ashara. You are married already? Okay, inshallah. It's very important because we consider those things to be taboos. Whereas Sahaba Kiram knew to go to Islam with this problem. Not this problem, this problem, this problem. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وما حياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم. Today's subject will be on the love of the dunya, حب الدنيا, which the Sufyan al-Kiram consider to be the root of many, many, many spiritual diseases. I'm going to unfold it, inshallah. There are two love which destroys, we will destroy our path, the Salik, the Sufi. One is a love for dunya and one is a love for fame. Very, very dangerous for our iman. Very, very, very dangerous. It's a rod in the wheel if a person wants to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is dunya is something that we have to understand in Sharia. The ayat al-Karima I've quoted in front of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this worldly life, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, this worldly life is nothing, إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, but a comfort of illusion, full of illusion. Does this mean that we must wash our hands with the dunya? That's the question. Does it mean when a person wants to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does this mean that he must shun away the world? No. What the ulama kiram and sufyan kiram explain, what is dunya? What is the meaning of the world? Dunya means those pleasures, those means which gives pleasures to our nafs in such a way that it deviates us from the remembrance of Allah and akhirat. That's the meaning of dunya. Dunya doesn't mean to have a beautiful car. Dunya doesn't mean to have a beautiful wife. No. By all means have those things. As long as it does not destroy our akhirat, as long as it does not deviate our attention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people come to term with that. They feel that if I am become a Sufi, I must wash my hands with the world. No. Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, look at the title Rasulullah gave him, Ghani. Ghani means rich. He was rich. Depending what is our intention, this is how we have to understand what is the hubb al-dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to give you an example, let us take wife. There was having a nikah now. Let us take the meaning of a wife. Being human being, we will tend to consider that a woman, like Mawlana said early on, that we have married, it is one of our desires, we get married. No, this is not the aspect of who is a wife according to Sharia. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith to this effect, خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِلنِّسَائِكُمْ, the best of you is the one who is best towards his wife. And the Prophet says, وَأَنَا, and me, خِيَارُكُمْ, I'm the best among you, Nisa'i, concerning my woman, my wife. Just what a beautiful hadith Rasulullah is saying. The Quran says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, when you go into have a wife, Allah will bless you with a wife. عَاشِر, your mu'asharat, your way you live with her, the best way, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Accept them, part and parcel of your life. There's so many ahadith I can quote you to prove that a woman, a wife, is not what we are conditioned to believe. Oh, this is one and parcel of life, we must get married. Sharia has used a woman as a means for our salvation in Akhirah. In our way, we're looking at it, no, but our woman, our children, these are the dunya things. No, these are not dunya things. This is part and parcel of akhirat. A woman is that being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. If you think properly, the biggest sheikh, if you think properly, those who are married will understand what I'm saying. The greatest sheikh is your wife. Because if you get a fight with your partner in the business, always a masali, you stop talking with him. But if you get a fight with your wife, she won't cook for you. You're in trouble. She won't look after your children. You'll be in trouble. She won't clean your house. You'll be in trouble. One day, 2 days, you can fight. You get cross. But then you were forced to make your Islam. You have a fight in the school. You don't go and meet this person. You don't want to talk to him. Okay, you don't need this person. But your wife, how long you go? That's your house. You need a place to sleep. You have to make friends with her. After 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week. You have to give in. This is why Rasulullah says in a hadith to this effect, that woman is made out of the rib. Don't try to bend it or to straighten it. Allah created them this way, that she makes our Islam. This is a hikmah. At times we think that, oh, they are crooked, they think like this. This is a mentality we have. Oh, women are made with a crooked rib. This is not the meaning of this hadith. The meaning of this hadith is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them with this way. We have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created women, their hormonal system is completely different with us. At times they will get their haiz. At times they will get nifas. At times they will give birth. At times they will give breastfeed the child, lactation. All those hormonal changes change their moods. You will have to get used to those moods. And what is the best Islam that you can have to tolerate all the things? This is why you find in hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mawlana Shafi'i Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi says, when I think of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I become hayran. It boggles my mind. Who was Rasulullah sallam? He said, a person like this, who talked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person like this, who Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was coming to meet him, a person like this, who was with the higher world, a person like this, who visited Jannah, who visited Dozakh, a person of this caliber, yet he had time to race with Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Yet he had time when the Ethiopians were training in Madinah Nabawi. Aisha Siddiqa would sit, stand by her, by him, and put her face here to look at them playing in the masjid, training. Yet she would tell them beautiful jokes, stories about the servant woman. They know hadith, I won't have time to give this hadith. Where Rasulullah had time to do that? I could not comprehend that. A person like Rasulullah. Then he said, Allah subhanAllah opened my heart. That Rasulullah knew by fulfilling the rights of this woman, my akhirat will be made. This is the difference between us and Rasulullah. We get married because we consider the woman as a matter of dunya, that it is dunya. But the way to look at our wife, it's not that it's a dunya. It is a zariya for our akhirat. It is a means for us to enter Jannah. This is why Rasulullah was considering with love and affection he was treating his wife, because this wife was a means to go into akhirat for him. Once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, there was a Sahabi. He had a tongue lash with his wife. I did mention you before. His wife was giving a good hiding. He said, today I'm going to report you with Amir al-Mu'mineen. I'm not going to take your nonsense. So he headed toward the house of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. When he went there, Hazrat Umar was getting a good tongue lash with his own wife. He said, oh gosh, let me go. He said, away you. Hazrat Umar seen going, hey, bhai, where are you going? Come here. He said, we're in the same boat. You can't help me. The problem I have in you are worse than me. Then Hazrat Umar said, what is your problem? You see, my wife is like this, she answered me back, at times she raises her voice with me. Hazrat Umar says, your wife cook your food, look after your children, clean your house, satisfy your desires, so that you don't go involved in adultery, etc., etc. If she got some complaint, what else is complaint compared to what she's doing for you? It's nothing. So keep quiet, listen to those complaints, at least she knows there is somebody to listen to me. Besides us, to whom they are supposed to talk? They will look at the four corners of the wall. instead of them going outside, making panchayat on the street, making gossips, carrying tales, whatever is happening in our house, every auntie on the street must know, they're sitting in at home, they're filling our ears with their concern, that's better. And it's a concern, it's a love you're showing towards our wife. So our woman, our wives are not a matter of dunya in the way we understand it. Look how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam look at their wives, that these are my zariya from akhirat. So this is the way we must understand dunya. When Sharia is saying, what is dunya? Dunya is that thing that will make us forget about Allah, that will deviate us from our akhirat. But if it does not deviate us from akhirat, this cannot be dunya. This is a zariya for our akhirat. This is what the Sufyan al-Kiram is saying, hubbu dunya. Anything that goes in our heart and it deviates us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is dunya. This is what Allah is saying, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This worldly life is nothing but a comfort of illusion. There's nothing in there. This is the way we must understand what is the meaning of dunya. Once Shaykhul Hind rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawla Mahmud Hassan rahmatullahi alayhi, was giving a lecture in Dars Deoband on Qutbi. Qutbi was a book on mantiq. Mantiq means logic. It's a heavy subject. Those who studied Alim course will know what I'm saying. It's a very heavy subject. Tense. So a person came and said, Mawlana Sahab, my mommy passed away, my mom passed away. Make some dua maghfirat. Make some dua for her. Mawlana raised his hand, oh Allah, the sabak that you have given, all the sawab in this sabak, bakshus is on the dead, on this woman who passed away. The man was shocked. See, mantiq. If you were reading some Quran, doing some das and hadith or Quran, I could have understood. Mantiq. Then Mawlana says, there's no difference. All are based on your intention. For what intention are you teaching this subject? Based on this intention, Allah will give you your reward. We are learning mantiq to understand Quran and Sunnah. This is why mantiq will be part of Sharia as well. It's part of studying Sharia. This is why we got to understand for the youngsters sitting here who go to varsity or going to school, that many people tell you must not study secular subject. No, it depends on your intention. This is the example I'm giving from our Kabir Deoband. Shaykhul Hina Hatulali is the example I'm giving. If these are the subjects that will help us to understand Quran, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the rain, how rains are forming in the Quran. If we are to understand those ayat, we must know science. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about anthropology in the Quran of man. If we don't understand the science, it's difficult. And the many ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not address it to the entire mankind. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Allah has specified who will benefit from this ayat. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Those person who wants taqwa, they will get hidayah from this book. Not everybody will get hidayah from the Quran. So we have to understand that acquiring this knowledge based on the niyat we made, this is how this knowledge, we convert it from dunya to akhirat. There was a sahabi, Zaid bin Harith, Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, there are two Zaid, I forgot who it was. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to make dawah in writing in Hebrew language. He was an Arab and he was not a literate person. So to write a letter, the Yahud of Medina were asking one camel for one letter. There's a lot of money. So Rasulullah SAW told him, Zaid, go and learn. He was small, about 10, 15 years old, somewhere there. He was putting his pencil by his ears. And this is a dalil that some ulama said to put your pencil here. He's a Sunnah Sahaba also. Okay. In 15 days, he went to learn Hebrew. 15 days, he mastered Hebrew to put that in the khidmat of Rasulullah. What Hebrew got to do with Hadith? What Hebrew got to do with Quran? Yet Sahaba Kiram did it. So our intention will determine our dunya. How we are learning Hebrew to make money, or how we are learning Hebrew to make khidmat of deen. If we make it to make money, then it becomes dunya. If we learn it for khidmat of deen, it becomes akhirat. Then it's permissible. So depending on our intention, what is hubbu dunya, that will destroy our spiritual life. This is what is important to understand the concept of what is dunya. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran how to make dua. ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة. ولا give us the best of this world في الدنيا. In this world, Allah is teaching us. ولا give us the best of this dunya. And give us the best of the akhirah. Not the good, the best. Allah is teaching us what you ask also. ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة. Good, the best. Give us the best. The best food. Our niyat is, when we eat the best food, we are strong, we can do good in our ibadat. Make our niyat. Make niyat. With food that goes, energy will come out of our body, we can make long ruku, long sijda, long tilawat of Quran. Change our niyat. This food now is becoming an ibadat. It's no more dunya. We don't fall within this comfort of illusion. Illa mata'ul ghurur, it doesn't fall in that. So we have to understand this concept. Islam is very practical. You have to balance it. There was another person, his name was Mullah Ahmad, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Mufti Taqi Sahib's father. I was reading the Maqalat of Mufti Shafi Sahib, Mufti Taqi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Dhamma Barakatum. He was sitting in a class of Mantiq. Ajib, think about it, because our youngster sitting here going to varsity and so on, think about it. He says while teaching Mantiq, Mantiq is not Quran and Sunnah, it's logic, got nothing to do. Got nothing to do with Sharia per se. He could hear the heart of his teacher making Allah, 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 in depth of mantiq. You samajhne ki cheez hai. The balance we must have as a Muslim, when in the path of Allah, we want to come close to Allah. What is halal, what is haram? In dunya, with the word dunya, I was reading another book, on tatawuf, they say that dunya, there's ahkamul khamsa in sharia. Ahkamul khamsa means, when you look at your maslah masail, the fuqaha have divided it into either it's faraz, or it is sunnat muakkada, or it is mubah, permissible, or makruh, abominable, it's detestable, or haram. We call this ahkamul khamsa. Our dunya, fuqaha have listed what, how you fit in those five ahkam. When it becomes haram to get dunya, when it is not haram to get dunya, when it is farz to get dunya. For example, certain people want to get married. We hear that marriage, nikah, is sunnah. But if you go deep in fiqh, marriage at times becomes farz also. If a person got the means, and he cannot control himself, it's farz for him to get married. And if a person hasn't got the means, and if he knows he's going to make zulam on the wife that is going to come in his house, he's not going to be able to fulfill the rights of this wife, it is haram for him to get married. Fuqaha have written on that. Same thing on marriage. The normal rule, it is sunnat. But when you look at it from the angle of fiqh, this is how it is. To eat food, to save your life is farz. To eat food is mubah. Generally, to eat food is something mubah. It's permissible. You want to eat, you eat. You don't want to eat, you don't eat. But if you are dying out of hunger, it's farz to save your life. Quran, Quranic ayat. And to overeat also is haram, because you are damaging your body, it's haram. So this dunya, the concept of dunya, we have to understand it. If we want to progress spiritually in our life, understand, dunya is that thing that will deviate us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and akhirat. The fuqaha explain how to remove the hubbu dunya, the thing, the desires that will remove the thought of Allah from our heart. How are we going to monitor that? Ulama explain that in the light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a beautiful hadith that die before your death. It's a deep hadith. Die before your death. Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has given 9 qualities of a person who is dying. 9 qualities that a mu'min must have when he's departing from this world. The first quality is tawbah. And all those 9 qualities, those who have been attending our majlis will know, we have discussed it in detail. The first quality is the quality of tawbah. Repentance. Wallah, I'm coming to you now. Wallah, don't call me without you have forgiven me. Wallah, don't call me until you have cleared my mu'amala with you in this world. Wallah, forgive me. Make me come to you sinless. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he comes, the elders say, a Muslim before he dies few days before he dies, he will know about it. And we have heard a lot of waqiyah about it. Many, many akabir we have heard how they knew how they're going to die. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala knew about it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moment إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْوَ الزِّبِيرِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa rushed to Medina. He rushed to Medina. He knew now Allah will call him. So, a person before he dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him some sign. And the door of Tawbah is not closed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the door of Tawbah is not closed until the gharghara hasn't started. That is when a person dies, he may like this. Gharghara they call it. Until this time hasn't started, the door of Tawbah is not closed for a mu'min. So, this is one of the first qualities, the quality of istighfar, Tawbah. The second quality that we have to create our mindset to develop, to remove this hubu dunya from our heart is to how we got to be like a dead person who is dying rather, is the quality of zuhud. Zuhud is to abstain from this world. Don't make this world come into our heart. Munna Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says, a beautiful metaphor he gives, he says that this world is like the sea and you want to sail in your ship. Don't put the water in the ship. The purpose of the water is to facilitate your sailing. This is the world. Another example, all of my exam says that this world is like a bridge between this world and the Akhirah. Now your job is to cross the bridge. Do not start building on this bridge. You're going to collapse it. Rasulullah says to this sense that I am like a traveler who's traveling and I'm halting by a tree which has shade. I'm going to rest a little and then I'm going to leave it. I'm going to go continue my journey. This is this world. Zuhd means you got to abstain. Don't let this world come in our heart. Whatever we need, we consume. What we don't need, get rid of it. This is a fundamental thing I did mention in the past, that when we spend our money, there are three levels. One is the basic needs that we need. Eat it. The second one, what we need, our clothing, our house, etc. The minimum we need, this is what is being required from us. The second one is, we don't need something immediately. We can need it later on, but we spend a bit more. You call it israf. It's not good to have israf. There is one level which is worse than israf, that is extravagance. We don't need something, but yet we buy it. That is known as badr. The Quran mentioned, إِنَّ الْمُبَدِّرِينَ Those that spend drifters, they are the friends of shaitan. Look the word Allah has used in the Quran. So zuhd is the quality of a person who is dying. He knows that I'm going to die, I don't need my house, I don't need my Merc, I don't need my BMW or whatever, my mobile phone or whatever. The feeling that he has in his heart, this is the feeling we must have to be able to remove the love of dunya from our heart. Those things that will deviate us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also we did talk. The next thing that we must have, you'll find a dead person has is qana'ah. This we have talked also about it. Qana'at is where we are contented with what Allah has given to us. Qana'at and rida. Whatever befall us, we are happy with that. Our feeling is before it happened and after it happened, it's the same. Oh Allah, you decided it this way, I'm happy with it. The quality of qana'at and rida. Another quality that Mawlana Masrullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh mentioned is the quality of azlat, that is solitude. Now we are dying. We're going to be only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malik al-Maut is going to come to us. We're going to unveil the spiritual world. We're going to see the malaika coming, taking our ruh. We are going to be paralyzed. We are paralyzed virtually. Because the Quran says when the Malik al-Maut comes, they will go and dive into our body and extract the ruh from every cell until it's brought here. That is, they collect it into like a mass. They tear our body and then it leaves our mouth. It leaves. This is why when a person dies, the eyes is open looking up. It goes. This is why the sunnah is we come and we need to close the eyes like this. There are dua to read when a person dies. So this is the feeling that we have, the quality of us that, oh Allah, now I can only stay with you. Only you can save me. So a person who is dying, this is why Rasulullah is saying, die before your death. Develop this quality so that the hubbud dunya can leave our heart. So you will find a great, great mashaykh like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. When he was dying, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, when he was dying, you were doing this. Not yet. Not yet. People ask him, what not yet you saying here? He says, Shaitan is around me now. Shaitan is around me. Shaitan says, you managed to escape from my grip. He said, not yet. My ruh is still in my body. My ruh is still in my body. You can make me become a kafir before my ruh goes. This is what I'm saying, not yet, not yet. So this solitude with Allah when we are dying is so important. That tawajjuh ila Allah, this is another quality we must have. Must be very, very, very firm. Because that time Shaitan comes. Great, great scholars like Imam Razi, Fakhruddin Razi, who wrote Tafsir al-Kabir, one of the most difficult tafsir ever written in the world. In the history of Islam, Tafsir al-Kabir, when he was dying, he was shaking his head. Shaitan came to him and asked him, give me proof of the existence of Allah. He gave 99 proofs because he was an expert in logic. Shaitan broke all his proofs. His sheikh, his spiritual mentor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave him inspiration in what halat Imam Fakhruddin was. And he said, and Allah knows how they communicated, say, I believe in Allah without any proof. He said it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he passed away with Imam. This is a halat that we go when we're going to die. Just imagine, last time we did talk about Iblis, the power of Iblis, that he had the gut to rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah told him to make sijda. What guts he had. This type of being is going to come and surrounding us. So how much yaqeen we must have in Allah, how much solitude, concentration we must have on Allah, how much tawajjuh we must have on Allah. This is the same thing we must have in us when we're going to remove hubbu dunya from our heart. It's very difficult. I've been saying 1,000,000 times that all whatever I say, I'm saying for myself first. It's very beautiful to talk on those things, but to put into practice, this I've been saying from the day one, we have to sit in the sohbat of the Ahlullah for this to come in us. I am worse than you sitting here. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with some little ilam. I scratch the surface of ilam, I'm sharing it with you. But this is the way. I did mention the other day, there are three theories among the Sufyan al-Kiram about traveling to go and sit in the sohbat of the Ahlullah. If you remember, one group says, no, you can sit in place, like Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayh, he says, you concentrate on Allah's chain. Some say, no, you got to travel and you discover Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is school of thought of Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi alayh. Some say, no, in the beginning when you are young, you go. Once you start settling, you evolve spiritually, you can sit in one place. These are three groups. But the point is, you'll find the most Ahlullah, they have traveled, they have left their home, they have received a sohbat of people, to be able to get a little spark of the quality of tasawwuf. Most. You got, we have, this is the usul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu masadiqin. Oh, you believers, fear Allah. And the secret to get this fear of Allah in your heart is sit in the company of the Ahlullah, the Saddiqeen. This is the secret of it. So this is a quality also we must have. Then another quality we must have, the quality of sabr. Inshallah, we're going to talk on sabr one of those days, the quality of patience. Now we're going to die. Malik al-Maut has come. We can't run away now. Where are we going to run away? Now we have to have patience. They were going to come. May Allah protect us again that if we did bad action, they're going to hit us. It's not a good thing. You get people who are in the Sakrat who did not pass a good life in this world. They are panic. They are panic. They can't sleep a few days before Malik al-Maut comes. Because Gabrat. Sakrat hasn't started yet. They started already getting Gabrat. Gabrat. Panic takes them over. But now we have a quality of sabr. We're going, we get to die. So same thing for a mu'min who wants to remove hubud dunya, the quality of sabr at the time of death. Then there are two more that we have talked also is the quality of zikr. Zikr. This is why they say in the hadith, whoever say la ilaha illallah, and this is his last kalam, he will enter Jannah. This is why we must give talqeen to a person who is dying. La ilaha illallah. Don't shout him the second kalima, shahadat, read by him until this come out of his mouth. Oh, come as come, because he's in halat sakrat. He can't even read now. He's like panic, right? Then at least make this the last in his ears and read Surah Yasin and Surah Rad. This is what is recommended to read by a person who is dying. So, which means we must train ourselves. We don't know whether we're going to have this opportunity that when we are dying, we don't know what halat we're going to die. In fact, there's a hadith of Rasulullah who taught us a specific dua. Oh Allah, do not give me a sudden death. Allahu Akbar. Oh Allah, don't give me a sudden death. Let me prepare myself to come to you. We've got to prepare ourselves to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ajib dua Rasulullah has told us, oh Allah, do not give me a sudden death. At least come as come, I can read my kalima. Oh Allah, come as come, my Yasin is being read. Come as come, Suratul Rad is being read by me. Oh Allah, come as come, I'm in wudu, halati wudu when I'm dying. I'll clean myself because people will bath my body. If I got my pubic hair around me, long, long nails, mouth is smelling, what they will talk about me after my death? Oh Allah, let me clean myself before I die. So these, all those things, very important. So zikr, increase our zikr. Very important to increase our zikr, to remove the dunya. And lastly is muraqabah. That also we did talk about it. Every night we must ponder on death. We must ponder about akhirat, maidani hashar. Muraqabah is very, very important. Ulama explained that 1 minute of muraqabah is better than 70 years of ibadat. 1 minute of muraqabah, it takes you very, very near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the means to remove hubbu dunya from our heart. There are 3 ways to do that. Ulama kiram says, if you want to get this, there's 3 ways. One is, we increase our ibadat. The second one is, we do the Sufi way, that we do a mujahada. This is a mujahada, we do looking the pleasure of Allah, etc. We have been discussing. But one which is the most high level that we must try to get, and that also is proven from the Quran, is ishq. That also we have talked in the beginning. One of the very, very, very first talk we have talked is ishq and shock. The love and the desire for Allah. How can we develop this? This also we have talked. Inshallah, as I was thinking, by the time we finish, it's very important, those what have been recorded, if you can put it on a disc, and those brothers who we want, we can give it to them. There will be approximately 40 lectures, which is very, very important. I'll try to condense the main concepts, so that when you go in the Sohbat of Ahlullah, they use those terms, you are already familiar with those terms. Very, very important. Inshallah, we'll try to do it before I finish in September, inshallah, before Ramadan. So these are the main point I've given, that the ulama kiram have explained how to remove hubbu dunya from our heart. We've got to understand what is the meaning of hubbu dunya. Very, very important. If we don't understand this, we'll think that we are more than the Prophet now. We're going to make more than what is required from us. This is not the maqsad. We cannot go home now, take everything out of the house, take the sofa out. No, zuhud. Mawlana said, must zuhud. No, but we've got to understand the concept of zuhud. It's a question of mindset. If we want to live this life, doesn't mean our children want to live this life, our wife wants. Everybody has a level of understanding. We got to tolerate their level of understanding. If we want to be Bayazid Bustami, doesn't mean anybody will going to become Bayazid Bustami at home. You have to understand that. We want to be Junaid Baghdadi, everybody is not prepared to become Junaid Baghdadi or Rabi Abbasri at home. We're going to break our marriage. You got to think properly, have this balance. What is dunya? Although other things is not deviating us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is within the confines of what are the zaruriyat. What is the bare necessity? You must have it. Give it to your wife and your children by all means. Yeah, when it becomes israf, when it becomes buzz, then we must abstain. We as father, we as head of the house, it's our duty to guide our family. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us, beware, everybody of you is a shepherd, and every shepherd will be responsible for his flock. On the day of Qiyamah, we will be responsible for our children. It comes in a hadith to this effect. On the day of Qiyamah, if a father, the son is time for him to get married, he doesn't make the necessary bandobas for him to get married, and this son is involved in zina, the father will be responsible. It's our responsibility as father. It's time for our children to get married, we must make the necessary steps. It's a duty. It's one example I'm giving. Our mu'asharat, the way it goes, we must prepare our children to get married, prepare their house little, whatever we can. Not make israf like one, and I explained early on. Don't make israf. There is barakat. There is barakat when we spend little in nikah. The hadith quoted by Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Prophet said, the most blessed nikah is the one in which there is less expenses. When Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha got married, what does Rasulullah gave her? One bowl, and something to cover, and something else. Only 3 things. Not even a slave girl was given to her. Yes, she will be the queen of the woman in Jannah. And when she asked for a slave girl, Rasulullah said, oh, baby, oh, my beloved daughter, If before you sleep at night, you read 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, this will be enough for you to give you enough courage to do your chores of the house. This is what you call Tasbih Fatimi. And waqi, if you, all the ulama kiram, they will tell you, if you practice upon that, waqi, when you wake up in the morning, you are fresh. There's so much barakat in the name of Allah. So much barakat in that. So these are things, small lessons we learn about hubbu dunya. Understand what is hubbu dunya. What are the limits we must go? Don't go too far, ifrat tafrit. There must be moderation, take into account which country we're living in, what zamana we're living in, and all those things must be taken into account. If you go to Mewat, those who went in Jamaat will know, I mean, the bread they eat there, we can't eat those bread. For them it's normal. It's not even grind properly. It's green in color. And the wheat is not, it's difficult to eat. We are not used to that. But for them, they are used. But now, if you go in the time of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he in those days, he was worried already, because those days they had the sifting process of the wheat. He said, you people are eating this type of roti. In those days I'm talking, Abu Huraira was complaining already. He said, in the time of the Prophet, we did not have all those luxuries. He was calling it luxury. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala addressing the Tabi'in, you people, what you consider to be hair, a strand of hair, we in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were considering to be mubiqat. Mubiqat is something that destroys you. Those days already we're talking that. Hazrat Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Zar Ghaffari was coming and telling, the people are deviating from Sharia. He said, no. He went to the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq, said, I can't take all those nonsense of the public, let me go. Abu Bakr Siddiq said, no. Hazrat Umar's time came, he said, no, you can't go. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala came, because he was three people were living in luxuries in those days already. We don't even already. But you got to understand the faqahat of deen, that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu, he understood the mizaj of Quran and Sunnah. Hazrat Umar understood the mizaj of Quran and Sunnah. You want to do it, you cook, okay, you can do it. But the general public are not equipped for that. They haven't reached that level. If they have reached that level, okay, the same fatwa will apply. Like if you study the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his rate of zakat was 100%. Zakat was 2.5%. But Abu Bakr Siddiq was giving 100%. The Battle of Tabuk is an example. He gave everything fi sabilillah. Now that was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala could not imitate. When he said, today I'm going to overtake Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq today, he took 50% of whatever he had. He brought there, when he came there, he realized that Abu Bakr Siddiq had 100%, whatever he had. That is Mayyal Abu Bakr Siddiq. These are the people who are, we must aspire to imitate. But reality, the people we live with have this mindset. We got to understand deen. May yuridillahu bihi khairan yufaqihu fi deen. This is whoever Allah was good, he gives an understanding of deen. So we must be considerate about the other people staying with us at home. Not by all means, you can live the life of Sahaba, but is our children ready for that? Is our mother ready for that? Is our brothers ready for that? Is our wife ready for that? So these are the understanding of hubbu dunya. What extent can we go and what extent we cannot go? So very, very important. This hubbu dunya will create a lot of disease in us if we don't understand it. For example, we want the world, the business. What happened? We want to do business, by all means. There are four levels of hubbu dunya. Time also is going, I don't got time. The first one is hubbu dunya, that we live, the love for the world, which will lead you to sin. We want to smoke, but you keep on smoking. Sin, guna. Then the second one is, the action is permissible, but if you overdo it, it's going to lead you to sin. Or forget Allah. For example, you are a big businessman. Day in, day out, you come and read your namaz, you have to read sunnah. These are four fathers we're going to read. Fatafat, we go back to our job again. Come back. Fatafat, we go. Our whole life is rotated around the business. We didn't have our namaz, we're going for our umrah, but our mind is with this tawajju in our salah. This business, it becomes hubbu dunya. This business now becomes hubbu dunya. But if you look properly in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those businessmen. Allah says those businessmen who the tijarat does not turn them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the point that we have to understand. We work by all means, as long as the world does not become deviate us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, a level which is worse than this is the love itself for dunya. That is, we don't care for akhirat at all, at all, at all. That's the worst level of hubbu dunya. One is we're doing sin, or we're doing our business, it's deviating us a bit from Allah. But to such a level that we do not even care for akhirat, that's the worst part of hubbu dunya. Now we are really drowned in this world. This is the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. وَمَنْ حَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This is what this ayat says, that we are completely drowned in this dunya. We haven't got 1 second to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We haven't got 1 second to think of our own akhirat. This is haram, to have this love of dunya. This is what the Quran is saying. Besides this, we must have a balance and try to make our islah through muraqabah, imaut, those 9 qualities that a person who is dying, he is trying to develop in him, ponder on that. This is what Islam is saying, die before our death. I'm going to stop here. Think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. Allah.
يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان يا منان اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد كل ما علم لك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا عذاب الدين واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين ومع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العدو والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذريتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا زدنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وحلالا وطيبا وعملا صالحا وتقبلا وشفاء من كل داء وقلبا منورا ولسانا ذاكرا وإيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وخلقا حميدا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وأنت البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. After we finish the zikr, I did say something once upon a time. When we finish with Allah, Allah, close our eyes, visualize a nur in our heart. Visualize Allah is in our heart. That's a nur in our heart. and then we find the difference in our heart. That is for secret answer.
I'm sure.